Why don't we pray again as the kids are going out? Dear Father God, thank you that you're a God who speaks. Thank you that your Spirit takes your words and helps us to hear them, to see great truths about you, to believe them, to love them, to treasure you. And thank you that he's been given by you to help us to put your words into practice. We pray today that as we look at Psalm 1, we would be those people that are blessed by you. So give us ears to hear. Amen. And I guess the question I want to start with is, are you happy? That is the point where I want to start, because I think that's the point where the psalm starts. Are you happy? Now, I think we make choices in life all based around this question, don't we? The choices we make because we think they're going to make us more content, more satisfied. We probably wouldn't use the word happy, but blessed is a word we'd probably use. That's why we make choices, isn't it? Big choices. What's the outcome going to be for me? Now, I know some of us might be sitting there and think, no, we make choices because we're being sacrificial. But at the end of the day, I think all choices we make deep down are to make us happy. Think about giving. Now, I hope we're people that give. The Bible says we're to be a giving people. God gives to us, and he says that we're to show our appreciation to him by giving to his church, to his work. But even giving, I think we do to make us happy, don't we? Even something that looks so sacrificial as giving our money away, why do we do it? Well, we want God's kingdom expanded. We want God to get much more glory. Why do we want that? Because, well, deep down, it's because it's what we want as well as what God wants. Everything we do, I think, is to help us be happy. Now, the world says a lot about this. We live in an age where everyone is wanting to be satisfied. Everyone's wanting to be happy, if you like. Everyone's wanting to be blessed. And they're looking for it in so, so many ways. We live in a country where you can almost do whatever you want when you want to do it. So many options to be happy, but we're in a country that, even though there's so many options to get happy, we live in a country where people aren't happy. Even though there are so many things we could be doing that would lead to happiness, just look on Google to find out we live in an age where antidepressants are around in our country more than they've ever been. We've got the things that are going to make us happy that the world says, but people aren't happy. And Psalm 1 addresses this question, and it's God's verdict. It's God's voice on the subject, to be a blessed person. Blessed means contented, satisfied, being given things by God. You could say happy in a sense, full of joy. Now let's see what he says, because he's the maker. He knows how we work. He's the one that designed us, therefore he's the one that can tell us what's wrong and where to go. It's like that guy that invented the Dyson Hoover. Don't ask me how to fix your Hoover if James Dyson is standing next to me. I'll give it a stab. But he knows everything about Dysons and why they work and why they're put together. And he can look at what the problem is and tell you the answer. And God made us. He knows what makes us tick, what makes us sad, what makes us blessed. And this is his answer on the subject. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one. This is the answer to how to be blessed and how to live a blessed life. It starts off in a funny way. We're expecting blessed is the one who, but verse 1 starts, blessed is the one who does not. So he starts by telling us not what to do, but what not to do. Who does not, who does not, who does not. And to sum up verse 1, it's blessed is the person who doesn't listen to the world, and doesn't listen to what the world says about being happy, and doesn't strive after the things that the world say will make you happy. Blessed is the person, verse 1, who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now, it's three things, aren't there? Walking, standing, sitting, and wicked, sinner, and mocker. Now, the three are like progressions, and they're progressions down. So there's walking along with, there's standing alongside, and there's sitting in the company of. And the other three don't quite sound to be a progression down, but they are. Wicked, sinner, mocker. Now, we look at those words and we'd say, surely wicked's the worst one, wouldn't we? But the word there is it's a law court word. You're in a court, you've stolen something, and the word wicked is, you are guilty of that one thing. Where the word sinner is like a career thief.
if you like. So a wicked person in this context is they've done one thing and they've been found guilty. A sinner is someone that does it as a job. They keep doing it continually, continually stealing, continually plotting. And then the mocker is sitting, and it's a step down. Someone that isn't just going along with the crowd. Someone that's not standing in the way of sinners. That's not saying stop standing in the way of them. It's sort of standing in the way they go. But here they are, they're sitting. They're like the crime lord. They're the one that people bring their treasures to, the things they've stolen, for him to then sell and distribute. See the progression? Walking, standing, sitting. The wicked, sinners, mockers. People that mock and say, my way of life's the best, and I can't believe you're not going along with it. Really being hateful and mocking people that aren't going that way. And God is saying in Psalm 1, through the writer, blessed is the person that doesn't go the way of the world. Blessed is the person that stops and sees what the world is doing. Now, do you know that the world around us is teaching us things all the time, and it influences us all the time? Mums and dads have known this for centuries, hence they've always been telling you, probably when you were younger, don't play with, mine was Adam Taylor. Do not play with Adam Taylor. I don't know who your equivalent was, but if you're a parent, you've probably heard yourself doing that. Don't play with them. We say to our daughter, I won't say the name because this probably goes on the internet, but there's one girl that we tell our daughter not to play with. Why not? Well, because she'll influence her in negative ways. And God's saying, that's how culture works. That's how we work, and we need to notice and stand against it. In family Bible times, we've just finished looking at Solomon. And God told him to marry someone who believed the same things as him and not marry a foreign wife. Now, Solomon did the opposite. He married 700 foreign wives. And God said to him, don't marry a foreign wife because they'll make you turn away from me and turn towards, well, worshipping the things they worshipped. Now, God said that would happen if you had one wife. He took 700 and he spectacularly turned away and built temples, altars to other gods. He bowed down to idols. And we look at that and think, I wouldn't turn away from God in the same way. But we do it. We listen to the world. We're being sucked along. The world is not neutral. I hope you know that. People that make TV programs, they're not neutral. People that write the newspapers, they're not neutral. They've got agendas, and they're not agendas that go along with God's ways. I hope you know that. I hope you've spotted that. A silly example is, has anyone heard of the kids' TV program Waverloo? It's 2 years ago, it was the number one program in England. It was on CBeebies. It was massive. You see the toys, funny little things. A guy in, a businessman, a Thai businessman, wants children in the West and all around the world to grow up knowing the ways of yoga and Buddhism. He sees that that's the way to get peace and joy in life. So what does he do? Well, he decided to fund millions and millions of pounds into this TV program that would go around the world. Why do you want that? Because he wanted a generation to grow up believing what he believed. Very clever man. Influenced people when they're young, and they'll believe it when they grow older. It is a fascinating program. I'm glad that not many people have seen it. A couple of things I've been thinking about this week. I love the Terminator films. Now, don't judge me for that. There's a new one that came out this week. I'm desperate to see it. Now, it's a 15, the modern one. Now, Terminator 1 was an 18. And nowadays, if it went to the ratings, I doubt it would get a 12, let alone a 15. The violence and the gore isn't that bad. What's happening in our society? Well, it's spiraling down, isn't it? And we're getting used to more gore, more blood, more violence and worse. But now, a film that was an 18 would be a 12. Another thing I've been pondering, just to think about how things are spiraling. World War I, men in trenches. Have you seen those pornographic cards they used to have of girls with enormous knickers and enormous bras on? They took them there as their pornography. Like these playing cards with girls well-dressed, we'd say nowadays. Enormous knickers and enormous bras. Now, just think about our country at the moment. We've just had 50 Shades of Grey in the cinema. It's a popular book that people love to read. And I've not seen it or read it, but apparently it is graphic. Now, what's happened in our culture in the last 50, 60 years? We've gone from a playing card that we think isn't bad, and that was like high-end erotic material, to where we are now, it's just spiraled, hasn't it? I'm sure maybe people in this room have put more graphic pictures on their Facebook page in a bikini or something than those World War I trench pornography cards. Now, what's going on? I'm not making statements, but I'm just saying things have spiraled, haven't they? And that's the point of verse 1. The world is teaching us things, and we just don't spot it. So God says, watch it, spot it, and stay away from it. We're believing the lies. The world says money is what makes us happy. And quite a lot of us have believed that. If only I had a bit more. Things make us happy. Relationships make us happy. Our image makes us happy. And we just go along with it, don't we? We agree. What's the answer, though? It's not just avoiding. Verse 2. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. What's the answer? We're to look at God, and we're to delight in him, and we're to delight in his ways. Now, at first glance, we read, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, what would you say the law of the Lord is? Anyone? What do you immediately think when you hear of God's law? Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments that Moses was given in Exodus 20. We think of that, and that's correct. God's ways, God's law is the Ten Commandments. But as a Jewish person, you would have thought, what's God's law? The Ten Commandments. What's God's law? The first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're called the law. The Ten Commandments are called the law. They're both called the law. Now, what is the story in the first five books of the Bible? It's not just do this, do this, do this. What's the message? God's the one who creates us, and he creates a wonderful world. God helps, and he provides, and he sustains. When we turn away from him, he's there. When we turn away from him again, he's there. He's providing, he's helping, he's guiding, he's there. So what's the law of the Lord? God is kind. God is good. God wants our best. And what are we to do? We're to delight in it, day and night. Now, even the Ten Commandments, what do they teach about God? Well, they teach that he's kind, and he provides, and he cares. The Ten Commandments aren't 10 ways to get to heaven. They're not 10 ways to be right with God. The Ten Commandments were given to a people that were already saved, and they were given to a people to help them live a life that would help them. Imagine a society where there was no murder, no theft, no adultery, no coveting. It'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? They're not given to save us, they're given to help us, which shows that God is wonderful and kind. What are we to do? Don't go the world's way. Don't listen to the world, but listen to God. Look at God. Go his way. Trust in him. Delight in him. The maker knows best. Helen and I have got through quite a few cars. I think we've had 6 or 7 cars since we've been in Oxford in... Six cars since we've been in Oxford in our last 8 years. We buy very cheap cars that don't last very long. And we're not picky, so we've had petrol ones, we've had diesel ones, and... For the first few weeks when you get a different type of car, every time you go and fill up the car, there is panic. Is it petrol? Is it diesel? Now, why is that? Now, if you put diesel in a petrol car, it would go like 20 metres and stop. If you put... What does that one? Anyway, either way, it just breaks. That's the point. It is very dangerous. So Helen quite often says, oh, have you put petrol in the car? And I'm like, we need to stop saying that because our car at the moment is a diesel car. And if I go to the pump thinking, oh, if I put petrol in, I'm more likely to pick up the green one rather than the black one and pump it up. Now, what's that? I need to go to Spectrum. I need to have a memory. But the point is, the maker of the car tells you what makes the car work best. And God has told us, delighting in him, delighting in his laws, seeing who he is, makes us work best. That's what we're made for. We're made for diesel, if you like, not petrol. And look at the results, verse 3. If we're people that do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, if we're people whose delight is in the law of the Lord, if we meditate on it day and night, look what we will be. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Now, I spotted something in verse 3 for the first time this week. I've known Psalm 1 off by heart for a long time, not this version, hence I keep looking at it, it throws me, this version. But a word in verse 3 that I'd never seen until this week sprang out to me. Have a look at the verse. I'll read it how I used to think of the verse, okay? That person is like a tree by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. What did I miss out? Planted. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Here's a tree, and it's been planted. If something's been planted, what's standing behind the planting? Someone who did it. A planter, a gardener, somebody who's thought through what he's doing. And that is what the message of the first 5 books of the Bible are. God is a God who thinks through what he's doing. He puts his people where he wants them, and he gives them what they need, and he provides for them. We are Christians who have been planted, put exactly where we are. We've been given what we need by God. Now, look at where God's planted this tree. Deliberately put it by streams of water. Now, I'm not a gardener, but that's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing for any plant and for a tree. I was walking through Christchurch Meadow. If you're visiting Oxford, by the way, you must walk around Christchurch Meadow before you leave. It is beautiful. I was walking around there just before I came here, and there's a river that goes around. And by the river, I was pondering this in my head, there are whopping, fat, beautiful trees. And 10, 15 metres away from the river, there are skinnier trees. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not making a judgment on science or whatever. I'm not that type of person. But I thought, oh, that's interesting. So that's what I've got in my head when I think of this. That is the right place for these trees. Planted there, put there. Look at where it leads. Which yields its fruit in season. It's got fruit every year. Exactly when it should be yielding fruit. Because they're delighting in God's ways, the fruit comes. Whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Now I want us to have a look at Jeremiah 17. And I'm sure Jeremiah had this in his mind when he wrote Jeremiah 17. He was speaking to a people, Jeremiah 17. The people were going the world's way. They were listening to the world all around them and getting tripped up and ensnared and enslaved in sin. And he says this, verse 1 to 6, he basically says, don't go their way. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. What's Jeremiah got in his mind? Must have Psalm 1, mustn't he? But I love what he adds in this tiny bit here. We look at verse 3 and we think, well, that's nice, isn't it? Yields its fruit in season, doesn't wither, whatever he does prospers. But the end of verse 8 of Jeremiah, puts a bit more flesh on the bones. It does not fear when heat comes. Because we're delighting in God, we know what he's like, we know what he does for us, and we know how good he is for us. When heat comes, we don't fear. Why is that? Well, because in the law of the Lord, he's proved himself time and time again. He lets his people get into situations that look awful, look like a disaster, but he lifts his people out of the pit. Therefore, if we know God, if he's in our mind, in our hearts, and we're thinking about him and knowing how good he is for us, we don't fear when the heat comes. I like the next bit. It has no worries in the year of drought. Why not? Well, it's the same, isn't it? We know what God's like. We know he's for us, so we won't feel the heat. And we won't worry when drought comes along. It's a great picture, isn't it? I love verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. That is a summary of God's law. That is a summary of the first 5 books of the Bible. God watches over his people. Now and forevermore. Now, if we're people like that, who delight in God's law, we will be like that tree. Not fearing. not worrying, but trusting. Not so the wicked. This is the flip side of the coin. The people in verse 1, often we look at people in the world and we think they do prosper, don't we? We look at them and think they're at least not withering. They've got everything they want and need. But actually, this tells us it's not like that. Not so the wicked, verse 4. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Do you know what chaff is? So if you harvest some wheat, you're after the grain, the lovely bits. Now, often in the field we pick them up and you peel away that funny pithy stuff that looks like a tiny contact lens. That is the chaff, that tiny stuff that you just flick onto the floor. Verse 4 is referring to the way they used to harvest it. Hi, Daniel. The way they used to harvest wheat was they would chop it down and they would build a tall tower. And they would take the wheat to the top of the tall tower and literally they would put it on the floor and they would smash it with sticks and they'd pick it up and they'd wave it. Now the grain is slightly heavier, so it falls to the ground. And the chaff is so light, it just gets blown away. What's the picture? Well, it's insignificant. That's the picture of the chaff, just blown away. We look at people in the world and think they've got it all. They look so sorted. But the reality is, people aren't happy. The reality is people aren't being given, they're not getting what they want. We look at people who are rich and think they've got it all. We look at people in relationships and think, oh, I'd love that. But the reality is, without God, things aren't great. Love or hate Russell Brand, he says some very wise things. There's an amazing interview between Russell Brand and Jeremy Paxton. You can see it on YouTube. And he's talking about the cult of celebrity and how, in one sense, he's made it in life, Russell Brand. And Jeremy Paxton was saying, you must be happy. And he's saying, no, not really. I've got lots of stuff. Money, girls, fame. He used to be homeless. And Jeremy Paxton's thought, this is an amazing turnaround for your life. You've got it all now. And he said, no, it's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. It doesn't make me happy. And Jeremy Paxton says, why do you keep trying to get famous? Why are you trying to get more money? And he said, well, it is meaningless, but I prefer to live a meaningless life with a feather pillow, going to restaurants, than a meaningless life, cold, sleeping on the street, drinking cider. Now, Russell Brand, very successful, very rich, has had some of the most beautiful girlfriends in the world, apart from my wife and some women here. But he's not happy. Bill Gates was asked a while ago, has he got enough money? He said no. Amazing. Bill Gates feels like he hasn't got enough money. I can't remember what he's got, but billions, hasn't he? He's not got enough. We look at money and think that's going to be the answer to things. If Bill Gates hasn't got enough money to make him happy, you will never get the money that will make you happy. Bill Gates is now, I read an article about him this week. He's now trying to cure malaria. It's great things. But he thinks doing things like that will make him happy. It won't. Only the people that don't go sin's way, but look to God and delight in him, will be blessed. Now, what can we take from this psalm? What can we take away? I think three things as we finish. First thing to remember, verse 3, we are planted. Verse 6, God watches over us. I think they're key things we need to remember. In order to be people that are content and full of joy, we need to know that God is there for us, with us, behind us. He's planted us. We're exactly where we are because of him. He watches over us. He's not left us. He's for us. He's helping us. We forget that often, don't we? We often despair and worry. We feel the heat. We feel the pressure because we forget God's not there. Well, we doubt that God's that great towards us. He's great to that person. He's given them what they need. He's great to that person. But the reality is, if we're his people, he has planted you. He is watching over you. Wherever we are right now is the best for us. We just need to look at him, trust him, and delight in him. Second thing I want us to take away is just see what sin is. Sin offers us so much, doesn't it? It says, find this, have this, enjoy this, and you will get X, Y, or Z. But the reality is, sin never gives us what we want. Sin always leaves you wanting more. Hence, you just have to do more. You have to do bigger things, uglier things, to get the kicks. And what happens? Well, Bill Gates, his first million, he says, that was a significant moment. But even when he had a million, he thought, no, that's not enough. His first billion was his next milestone. And he thought, no, it didn't deliver. Whatever is on now, it hasn't delivered. And that is the same with things that we look at and think, that's going to make me happy. They won't. Only God does. Thirdly, I just want us to remember, verse 2 leads to verse 3. If we're people that delight in the law of the Lord, if we meditate on it day and night, we will be like that tree. We will be like that tree that's been planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, whose leaves don't wither. Whatever we do, prospers. Now that phrase in verse 2, meditates on his law day and night, is a word in Hebrew that means background noise. That's what the word is, background noise. So he's saying the background noise of our life needs to be delighting in God, delighting in his ways. Now how do we get that? Well, we meditate, we think about God, we spend effort and time looking at him, looking at what he's done for his people then, looking at what he does for us now, thinking about the cross. If he would send his son to die for us, to take away our sins, he's going to be providing anything and everything else for us, isn't he? We're to be thinking about him deliberately, and that will lead to a background noise through our life where we just know God is good, and he's for us, and he's striving to help us. But I won't get the background noise if I'm not spending time looking at God, thinking about God. I guess the question I want to ask is, what is the dominant background noise in your life? I think for lots of us, TV probably is. That's probably our default. Get home, tired, exhausted. What shall I do? Well, we'll probably have a glass of wine or whatever. We'll eat food and we'll whack on the telly. And the telly's not neutral. It's not neutral, relaxing. We're being taught things all the time. And no wonder we go after the things that everyone else does in verse 1. Why? Because our dominant background noise is what the world's saying. We're to be people that spend time thinking about God, delighting in his law. Can you say that you delight in God? Now, if you delight in him, we'll spend time and effort, won't we? If you delight in something, you pour your energies into it. Not just a brief glance, a quick look. A delight is a proper thought through thinking, giving time to. And when we do that, our background noise will be, God's good, God's kind. He wants what's best for me. And we will know that he watches over us. Let's have a look at Psalm 1 again. I want us to be people that are blessed. I want us to be people that don't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. I want us to be people that delight in the law of the Lord, who meditate on God and his law day and night. I want us to be people that are like those trees planted by streams of water, living water. I want us to be people that yield our fruit in season, whose leaves don't wither, who prosper in what we do. I want us to be those in verse 5 that do stand in the judgment, that will be in the assembly of the righteous with God forever. I want us to be a group of people that know that God watches over us day and night, now and forever. Now, I hope the conversation started. I want us over dinner to be thinking about how we do that, how we can help each other. I hope day by day by day you spend time thinking about God. I hope you build in time to look at the Bible, to talk about it with people. I hope when you meet up with Christians you ask the question, how's it gone this week? And behind that question I want us to also be asking, what's God been doing this week? Now I've got a few things that can help our background noise become one that delights in God. I just grabbed them off the bookstore. I'm not a music lover, but everyone tells me music gets in their hearts and sticks with them. We've got a load of CDs up there. People in this room tell me that when they listen to Christian songs, it stays with them throughout the day, and they have a day where they're delighting in God more when music's on in the morning. Well, this is a great CD by a friend called Matt. He comes to the 9:45. It goes through the Psalms. It's beautiful. It is excellent. But there are loads of other CDs. Why not use music to help God's law be your background noise? There are all sorts of resources for kids. This is my top one for looking at the Bible with kids. Long story short, it is excellent for families. It's probably the best stuff on the market. I know for adults as well. So long story short, it is brilliant at looking at the Bible and thinking about God. One that's very popular at St. Ebbs is Explore. We've got loads of these on the bookstore. All it is spending 5 to 10 minutes at the start of a day just spending time with the Bible. It gives you some questions about a passage. It gives you some answers, and it gives you a thought to think about throughout the day. Now, I want us to be like that tree planted by streams of water. I want us to be people that yield our fruit in season. I want us to be those whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever we do prospers. And it starts with a bit of work. And it would be a delight as we do this together. So over dinner, I want you to ask someone, what do you do? How do you get God's good news to be your background noise? And if someone says they don't do much, you have got the right this week to tell them off and to tell them we need to start. And I hope next week when we come back, we say to each other, how did it go this week? Did you spend any time looking at the Bible? If you did it help your background noise throughout the day? And my prayer is that it will. And Psalm 1 virtually promises that it will. I'm going to pray. Thank God that he watches over us. Thank you. Thank him that he plants us. And then we can start the hard work ourselves with him. Dear Lord God, thank you that you have planted us. Thank you that you watch over us. And we love that. You are so good and beautiful and wonderful that having you caring for us like a gardener, having you watching over us is such a comfort, such good news. We pray that we would know that this week and beyond. We pray that we'd know that tonight when we go to sleep, that you're watching over us and you're at work in us and through us. And please help us to be a church family together that encourages each other to look at your Lord day and night. Please would we be a church family that has you and your goodness as our background noise, so that as we walk through life, we're seen by people in the world as different because you're different behind us looking after us. And we pray that as we're those people being made by you like that tree, other people would want to come into your kingdom as well. So please help us this week and beyond to be delighting in you and your law. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get the kids. Why don't you start that conversation now? Feel free to talk to the person next to you and just ask them how they're doing. If you don't want to talk, maybe just shut your eyes and think by yourself about how you're doing with this.